Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday worship podcast for August the 30th. The last time I communicated with you was in the newsletter of this week, and I concluded with the words, stay safe, take care of each other, and hunker down for the storm. You know, even though we are thankful that the storm missed the Houston area, our prayers are with those in Far East Texas and in Louisiana who are dealing with the after effects of Hurricane Laura. I hope that you are all safe over there and that your lives can be put back together as quickly as possible. If you can donate to the area, if you feel like you can help in some way, please do so. Because when we have been affected by hurricanes in the past in our area, people from all over the state, even all over the nation, have chipped in to help us out. So know that you are in our prayers in Louisiana. Now, I would ask you to spend just a few moments in quiet and preparation for us being in worship together. Listen to this music and prepare your hearts for worship.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is. Hallelujah, I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Of the storm, louder and louder,
Our call to worship this morning is responsive, and it comes from Romans 12, the lectionary epistle. And your response will be, "Let us love one another with mutual affection." Let your love be genuine. Let us love one another with mutual affection. Contribute to the needs of the poor. Extend hospitality to strangers. Let us love one another with mutual affection. We rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Let us love one another with mutual affection. Live in harmony with one another. Let us love one another with mutual affection. Let us be in prayer together. Holy God, you have told us how to live a life worthy of your calling, and you have shown us through the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. May this time of worship be a reminder of who you have called us to be in this world. May our hearts and minds be open to hearing and answering that call once again. And when we hear your call, give us the courage and grace to answer. When we feel weak and tired and just worn out from all of the effort, give us the abiding knowledge of your encouraging love. We lift to you in prayer this day, people displaced by Hurricane Laura and all those affected by the storm, people affected by the pandemic, the ill, the families who grieve, all of the physicians and caregivers, the essential workers, all who battle this disease. We lift up our nation in a season of turmoil, that the call for justice and equality might be heard by all. Grant us your peaceful joy when we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Responsive to his call.
As we prepare for a time of stewardship today, I want you to think about shepherds. I'm sure being a shepherd is a busy job. Sheep can't be the easiest animals to tend. They're prone to wandering off, and they're vulnerable to attacks by predators. There's no doubt that Moses had to stay vigilant in his work to ensure the safety and integrity of his flock. And yet, when he saw the burning bush, he said, "I must turn aside." You know, there's so much clamoring for our attention these days. Some things really are essential, like jobs and family responsibilities. Others can be empty distractions that just captivate our attention, looking at the next shiny object. But when God calls, do we have time to turn aside, to see the presence of God with us, and to step off the treadmill and step into God's holy ground? The time of offering is a time to turn aside from the demands of the world and answer the call of God to be generous servants. There is so much need around us, but too often we simply don't take the time to see it. By supporting God's work through our church, we are claiming our role as co-laborers for God's kingdom. Let us turn aside and acknowledge God's generosity as we bring our tithes and offerings. Loving God, you have given us eyes to see the need around us and ears to hear the cries of our brothers and sisters. Break open our hearts this day so that we weep when you weep, and remind us you have given us the spirit and the resources to turn mourning into rejoicing. Amen. As we have brought our gifts to God, let's prepare ourselves to receive the gift of communion from God. This holy table is set for all who affirm Christ. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it and he blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first disciples celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." God bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today comes from the lectionary epistle, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I will be reading from Romans 12, verses 9 and following. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Paul was writing to Christians he hadn't met yet. Romans was Paul's magnum opus. He figured if he got his message to Rome, it would have reached the center of the empire. Rome was the center of the known universe. And everything that he believed is included in this one letter. Well, if you read much of Paul, you'll find out pretty quickly that Paul had plenty of self-confidence, and he had absolutely no problem with telling people how they should live. Here he writes, "Let love be genuine." Paul had no time for empty flattery. He was honest, to a fault sometimes maybe, but when it came to being a vessel for God's love, he was adamant. It must come from the heart. You see, Paul had seen the Pharisees praying loudly on the street corners. Well, in fact, he had been a Pharisee praying loudly on the street corners. Be wary of false prophets on the airwaves, I would caution you, and on the TV screen. Those who admonish you to send them your money when they are living in mansions and flying around in private jets. I'm just saying. Remember Billy Graham? Sometimes I disagreed with him theologically, but as a man, a person, he lived an exemplary life. Billy Graham lived in the same modest home for his whole adult life, and he witnessed to kings and presidents, and he would treat the guy on the street corner exactly like he would treat the president of the United States. Just saying, I miss Billy Graham. And then Paul wrote, contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality. Jesus lived a model of hospitality. He was always concerned with the needs of the other. Jesus lived the model of the gracious neighbor. He preached and lived going the extra mile. After being confronted by the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, Saul becomes Paul, and his whole life emphasis is changed forever. People working in the food pantry here at First Christian Conroe have shared with me time and again how their lives have been changed in their volunteer efforts. Helpers live more fulfilled lives than takers. That is a truism. Then he writes, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Perhaps this is the hardest lesson of all. I want you to do something now. Close your eyes and picture someone in your life right now who has wronged you. That might be another word for persecute. Now, can you pronounce a positive blessing on them and mean it? Well, I've told you this story before, but it's one of my favorites. I love Fiddler on the Roof. If I were a rich man, I'm never up to you. But Anatevka is the village. And the people of Anatevka asked the rabbi to pronounce a proper blessing upon the czar. Well, if you know your history then, it was the time that the Russian Tsar was having what was called a pogrom on the Jewish people. He was running them out of their own towns and gathering together in one place. He was persecuting the Jewish folks. So what would be a proper blessing for the Tsar? Well, the rabbi thought and thought, and he said, "May the good Lord bless and keep the Tsar far from Anatevka." That was a proper blessing for the Tsar. Have you noticed that our nation has become so politically divided and the sides are so contentious that it seems sometimes like it will take divine intervention to heal the divides that we have? And you know, when you get right down to it, we all want the same things, basically, don't we? We all want the safety and well-being of our children. We all want people to be treated fairly and with respect. We all want our neighborhoods to be places of safety and happiness where we can live fulfilled lives. We all want everyone to be given a fair and equal opportunity for success in life. But that conversation between the divisions in America, it will depend on us being able to bless and not curse those on the other side. Just saying. Then Paul says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all." There's an old 12-step saying that goes something like, "All I can do is clean up my own side of the street." But that's enough, isn't it? Think about it. If everyone cleans up their own side of the street, what shape will all the streets be? They will be clean. Well, that's using clean metaphorically, but you get my message. If we all do our own small part, we can live peaceably so far as it depends on us. We can live peaceably with all. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Amen.